Good morning to those in Radio Land and in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean and many other places. Those who listen into Down to Brass Tacks, welcome. This is the Thursday edition, 16th of August, 2018. My name is Lisa Gale. I'll be with you until 1:30 p.m., according to our producer, Mr. Dennis Johnson. The number to call, 434-1790, or WhatsApp, 266-IVOB, or 266-4862. Today, there are a couple of things we will be talking about. You're free to call and share your issues, ask your questions, make some suggestions. As I said earlier, we'll be going until 1:30 p.m. Today is actually a big day for a number of teenagers who sat the CSEC exam, and they will be getting their results today. So we will have some tears, some excitement, a couple of things. You will have some responses, and you will have some teachers feeling very good as well, because they would have worked with those students for the maximum, I would say, of 2 years and the minimum of 3 months, depending on if you just picked up the program and just sat it in June, or if you were working on it from in third or fourth form, depending. So a big congratulations to those students in advance, those who have satisfied the examiner's requirements, and also to those teachers who would have worked with those students throughout the year. There was one thing I'll raise with you today, and that is the response from the opposition senator in the Senate yesterday, Ms. Crystal Drakes, Senator Crystal Drakes. And she made an interesting plea to the government, and she said it is important not only to look at the restructuring of the Barbados debt, but to also look at the restructuring of the Barbados economy. And I thought that was a very useful intervention. I didn't get to hear all of the presenters on that day, but I heard a piece of her clip, and I thought that it was a good story being told, so that that pain or that extra burden is not saddled, the government is not saddled with that significant burden to. And then, of course, if the government is burdened, then the taxpayers then have a larger chunk to outlay. So if we can rejig the economy in a way that the private sector sees the private sector leads the growth, and government sets the policy, and together we all participate in that economy, I think that would significantly alter some of the challenges that we face now in Barbados. A couple other things, but you know what? I'll give an opportunity for our callers today to share their views and to raise with us those matters which they see as critical or as important. As I said, my name is Lisa Gale. I will be with you until 1:30 p.m. We have a number of calls already, and I look forward to engaging you and hearing from you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Gale.
Good morning, madam.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Now, Miss Gale, there's two things I really would like to put on the table. Now, first of all, people, you know, other nationality that came to Barbados and live and work for 20 years, 18 years, pay their national insurance, they have their children, and their, you know, and to get, like, student visa, it's hard to get, and their children came here when they were small. The parents work, some work in the field, very hard to provide agriculture, food for people in this country. Other nationality came here, do different work, and pay their national insurance, pay their tax, don't break the law, and yet 20 years and 18 years, and if this same person that works so hard, you know, you have the permission to live and work, but you pay your tax, you paid everything, and if you're sick, you cannot go to the clinic, you cannot go to the hospital, you have to pay, yet these people pay their tax and insurance. Do you think it's right?
Just for clarity, the children of the taxpayers can't go to the clinic currently, or the
the mothers and fathers that is working so hard in the field and working other jobs cannot go to the clinic nor the hospital. They have to pay, yet they pay their national insurance.
What do they have to pay to go to the clinic? Because right now, anyone can walk off the street and go to the clinic in Barbados.
No, that's not true, ma'am. Mm-hmm. That is not true. That is not true. You cannot go to the hospital. You have to send you a bill. You go and you get That's treatment, but there is a bill you got to pay.
There's why a bill for... You're going a little far and fast. That's why I asked you to slow down.
Mm.
What type of care are you speaking about? Primary care, if you have an emergency? Because every single one is seen for emergencies.
No, you cannot. Not if you only have permission to live, him to reside and work.
So what has been your experience if you've had an emergency and have gone...
Not me.
Right. So if it is not you, what is the person's experience?
I know their experiences. They have to pay.
I hear you. I hear you on the part of payment, but I want to get to why they have to pay. Is it an operation or is it...
No, no, because they don't have permanent resident or citizenship.
But we see beyond permanent residents. We see visitors every day in Barbados at our clinics and at our hospital.
But they send them a bill at the end.
That's only if you get a bill if you have to go back for, well, there's primary care and there's secondary care. You mean a person who's an outpatient?
Yes.
No, the outpatient, yes, you have to pay. I know about that for sure.
Yeah, but it's wrong if they're living here and working and paying tax.
But it is not the full bill they pay. You know, there's a portion of the bill, which I understand, someone has to correct me, which I understand is a discounted rate.
No, it's not true, ma'am. I can't tell you that.
So what kind of care are you speaking of?
Let me tell you, some years ago, I have my eye operation done by a private doctor. No, first it was the doctor that was working at the hospital. And I went private with him, and I have to pay nearly $600 to use the bed for maybe half an hour. Okay, I don't mind me. Then... You know, I went the other day. I am permanent resident here. I've been here 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the hospital just because my knee was hurting me so bad. Now they send me a bill. I ain't going to look at that bill because I know it's wrong. But other people I know have to pay. They have to pay. I can guarantee you, I know about six mm-hmm. people who have to pay their bill. And it's not right, not if you're contributing to the country more than as some people who's getting it free.
So these people the persons you speak of don't have health insurance?
No, they're right. Working. You know, they can only, you know, when you have to struggle to work mm-hmm. and, you know, to do a little job, you take out the health insurance?
Yes.
Not when you're paying your tax, Ms. Gale. Not when you're paying your insurance. And some of them now have to go and keep getting renewal if they were able to give them their, you know, to say that resident. They can still live and work. Mm-hmm. And it's not right. It's okay. not right. Something should be done for those people who are living and contributing in this Barbados.
Okay.
It's not right. I'm not going to talk about no other country because I only lived in two countries in my life. I'm mm-hmm. born in Jamaica, but I never lived in Jamaica. I went to Jamaica as a baby, in a sense, a little girl. But I'm talking about why should they then pay the national insurance and tax and cannot get no help?
I think that there's a certain... I think I'm going to reach out to someone to share a little bit more there because my understanding is a little different from yours.
Yeah,
But on the secondary point, I think there has to be someone has to pay the burden of care at our healthcare.
We don't mind
healthcare institutions. Someone has to pay. And I don't think that it should be 100% free carte blanche for both nationals and or non-nationals. I think there could be some, which is what we're talking about now, you know, the discussion in terms of whether we should have user fees. Because a lot of us, I must say, because we have been so accustomed to free services, we've not cared or we have taken advantage of the same care that has been provided. And the institutions need upkeep. The clinics need... The facilities need upgrading. They need instruments. You know, a lot of technology has been introduced over the years, and somebody has to bear that burden.
Yeah, but why should it be the people that do work and contribute?
Who else would be the ones contributing if it is not the workers?
Well, be honest with you, I pay I might see a doctor, but I usually pay for my own medication because I don't like this one you call genetic or whatever. I pay for the number one. I always say to my doctor, I do not want nothing. Give me the best. I pay for that. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you I can have my ability.
And I do share the view that there are persons who are indeed less fortunate who cannot pay anything. And again, that's where the means testing comes in, and where there's some measure of discretion. But every single person that comes through the healthcare institutions, I don't believe that they should get free service. You have anything else to add?
Yes, the other thing. I heard him, independent senator say that the government should look at giving an increase to the senators or something like that.
Yes, I did hear that yesterday.
But is that person crazy?
Right, but why would you think so? You don't think that if a person is reading legislation, making suggestions that would impact you and I, you don't think that they probably should have a consideration of an increase?
Because they're not the one that ant him out. No way. Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much. This is Dr. Brastas.
Hi there, it's me, Uncle Jay. Life 97.5 FM presents Life Reading Room in association with Starlight Supplies. Join us every Saturday from 10 until 11 a.m. until September 1st for a time of reading and fun with Barbados Association of Reading. On Saturday, August 25th, we will be live from Savannah Beach Hotel. To be part of the action here in our studios or at Savannah, register by phone 430-7300 or email life975@starcomnetwork.net. Limited space available, so register now. There will be prizes and surprises. Reading is fun! Life Reading Room is brought to you by Starlight Supplies, Barbados Association of Reading, and Life 97.5 FM.
If you have to go to an emergency shelter, then you are advised to take an emergency kit, water, and non-perishable food items to last for at least 3 days, personal identification, and any medication that you may need in waterproof packages. The Category 1 emergency shelters in St. Thomas are Les Devon School and Hillaby Turners Hall Primary School. In St. George, the Category 1 emergency shelter is Cuthbert Moore Primary School.
A focus on you, the healthier you, a better you. The VOB family welcomes the Better Health Radio Show in association with BAP, the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners, this and every Sunday at 6 p.m. as we take your calls and give you the best advice. We'll tackle the many health issues facing Barbados. We're the best health professionals as we highlight a special focus each week, and you'll also hear the truth about conflicting advice. Take a moment out to focus on your health every Sunday evening at 6 on VOB 92.9 FM. With the Better Health Radio Show, brought to you by Pharmatex Alize and Allergan.
Down to brass tacks. Our last caller spoke a little bit about persons who were not receiving free care, and that is one important, very important discussion that I'm sure our planners are contemplating at this moment as we look to reduce the burden that the government currently bears as it relates to health care and Barbados. Very important topic that is of utmost importance. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello, hi. Good morning to you, Mrs. Lisa Gale.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I am doing well, thanks.
Good. Always a pleasure to talk to you, though.
Okay.
Just Vinny, the last caller, just steal a part of my thunder, but she didn't went too far in it. And I would just like to give her a little support, though, with this reside and work healthcare system that we have set up in Barbados. This is not my main point. I believe if you're paying in to the national grid, which is the national insurance, right? Mm-hmm. If you ask to make a contribution to that, I believe that you should be entitled to health care in Barbados because you're paying into the national insurance. Okay? That is my support to Vinny.
And not the national health care levy.
Well, you see, everybody's going to pay a national health care levy.
Right? No, we don't have a levy. I'm speaking about another thing that...
Well, you talk personal insurance?
No, I'm talking about something that doesn't exist. You're speaking specifically about national insurance.
Yes, Because national insurance.
And we are speaking about health care.
Good. But what I'm saying to you, national insurance is a vehicle for social care, so to speak, right? Where you pay into the national insurance, and the national insurance distribute funds to assist places like the hospital and that sort of thing.
So the national insurance really covers a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Disability benefit, it covers you when you go off on maternity leave, it covers when you go off on sick leave, it covers when you are not working anymore, and for a period for which you, between employers, that's what it is specifically for. You're wanting to add another portion for healthcare, or you're, that's why I created another name and said a healthcare levy. Of which, I must say, in the budget, in the last budget, I think the Minister of Finance did mention there was some, I don't know what it is called, but there's, at some point, we're going to have to start paying for our health care.
But I think, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's a little unfair to ask a resident work person, right, to pay into national insurance, and still when he go or she go to the hospital for basic service, I think that it is unfair to send a bill.
Right, and the only basis on which, the only comment I would make there is that, how are you so sure? And I know the first caller said someone she knows experienced it, but I'm not so sure that basic care is not given to non-nationals. That's the point.
You see, and I tread cautiously with that, because I am not 100%. I'm just going on what Winnie said, right?
Okay.
And what would have said even before Winnie. Anyhow, let me get into my thing. This is the part of my thunder that she steals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to finish off with, my latter point, is this whole thing with Geisen Mears and the police tribunal and the general secretary of the Democratic Labour Party. I want you, as a bright, one of our bright minds in Barbados, to put your own take on that. But before I get to that, let me.
So what you don't tell me was your take? Well, first of all, she didn't mention that. So how she could have stolen your thunder? She didn't mention that at all.
No, I said that is my latter. I want to go into what she steal a part of my thunder, and that is what Senator Monique Pate talked about yesterday in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody that know me, anybody that listened to me over the years, will hear me repeatedly comment on the Senate. I personally, I don't have much time for the Senate. Reasoning, I believe Senate is a stumping ground for political failures, right? I believe the Senate is a stumping ground or a rubber stamp for government policies. And over and above all, I do not see any meaningful contribution come from the Senate in terms of carrying this country upward and forward. And I would draw your attention to this. You ever, in your years or knowledge of following the Senate, any bill that don't the Senate that the Senate reject?
But rejection is your basis on which you say something is worth its weight. That is sad, though.
I will flip the script
and tell you that we need to look more positively at things and not only look at the negative element, because that's not only the form of criticism that you get. You know, people always talk, this is constructive criticism. I'm only making a point, and it always must be a point that is not in agreement with what. Oh, let me go off on my tangent. I'll listen to you, sir.
Lisa?
I'm listening.
When I think that we got this thing wrong with brain, both constructive and constructive and destructive criticism, I think if I criticize you, the way how you take it is what make it constructive or enhancement.
In my time having heard the Senate,
I asked you that.
If there has ever been a scenario where a bill has been rejected.
Yes, I asked you that.
And I'm asking you if that is your basis for giving something value.
I am saying it's not only the only basis.
So what other thing you want to ask me about the varying, lovely and wonderful and strident contributions made from the senators that predate this existing Senate? Do you want me to talk about the extra research that those senators have done that have brought it has brought far more information to the public of Barbados, more so than what we have received by a number of our ministers over the years, So I wouldn't say that the Senate doesn't have any value. What it has also done, it has given voice to the ordinary man, who is the senator, the supermarket CEO, and the student at community college, and the person who represents the disabled community, and the person who's in the church, and the person who's down the road, down the street, who lives at the corner house. The Senate represents Barbados. It represents the people who did not go specifically for political office.
Lisa,
so to make a statement that it is a stomping ground for mayor of government policy, bear in mind that the Senate does not only host persons from government, or should I say government elected officials, it also hosts persons who the governor general, the head of state, has chosen as persons who can represent us, and it has also chosen opposition persons. And if I dare add right now, I'm very pleased with the two choices of the leader of the opposition, simply because both of those persons have competencies in areas that are critical to the discussions that go on in that August chamber. So I have a totally different perspective from you than what you think the role of the Senate is.
Lisa, and that's your right. But
yes.
I want to say to you, nobody that I know of take the Senate seriously and
that's process. Unfortunate because people don't understand the workings of policy in Barbados.
Are you going to give me a chance?
I'm giving you a chance, and I'm giving myself a chance too.
Yes, but what I'm saying is I that bring this thing to the program, and I would like to expand on it. I would say to you, over the years, I listening to the Senate, right? I hear lot of talk. It become a talk shop. Nothing meaningful, and nothing corrective don't come out. And as a matter of fact, the Senate settles nothing.
You said that already, though, so repeating yourself isn't going to bring a new point.
Fair enough. But this part I would like to say to you, this part I would even like to ask you.
Go ahead. Name one senator,
right, that stand on, where you say, the burning deck, that stand alone on a particular bill. I'm a political bill, I stand firm on it. Name one.
But first of all, I ain't going to name any.
Name one.
To satisfy your argument, one. But I want you to not, I want you to kindly not limit yourself in terms of your perspective of the role of the Senate.
I am saying to you, Lisa, in the present mechanism, present format, the Senate to me, does not serve a useful purpose.
Okay.
And I would go.
You said that already, so I would write it down because it is your point.
I want to go a little further.
Senate does not.
I want to go a little further and tell you how I believe a Senate and Barbados to work.
I will give you that chance. I think that will be your last contribution. Yeah, I'll give you that chance.
So yeah, let me touch on the guys on here.
But I remember.
It seemed like
7 weeks ago. No, you can say whatever you want. 7 weeks ago, I did a nice prelude to the discussion, and you were the first caller, and you said to me that I was out of place. It was 20 minutes. I should not have spoken so long, and I should give a chance to the people because this is a short program. You remember?
Well, I get it.
So let me remind you, buddy. Let me remind you that I, Lisa Gale, am the moderator today. I am giving you a chance to finish your point. If you want to use the discussion, the time to speak about Gais and Mears, you can do that, but you have said sufficient on the Senate, and we do not agree. And because we do not agree, I'm not cutting you off as you are suggesting. Because if I wanted to cut you off, I could have done it before.
Fair enough. But I want to say whether you disagree or agree, that don't bring none to me.
And it should have, and exactly. So the point I'm making is that I'm not causing you to speak less because I disagree with you.
Good, fine. Let me go on to Gais and Mears, and I want to pick your intellect on this, right? It has been in the use in recent time, at least up to this morning. What is your take, what is your professional take on the Gais and Mears Police Tribunal and the General Secretary post of the Democratic Labour Party? I could put down and listen to you, but I would not put down the phone in your ears.
No, I don't. Trust me, I ain't petty, buddy. I don't take those things personal. And people are entitled to share you know, in frustration, put down a phone here and there. We are human, so bear in mind, I'm a certified mediator, so I know when tempers flare, I know how high and hard to go, etc. But one good thing I heard from Mr. Chris DeCaries, who's the chair of the Barbados Entrepreneurship Foundation, of which I'm a part, he has a little saying. I don't think it came from him per se, but he said, raise the argument, don't raise the voice. Strengthen your argument, don't raise the voice. And I think that's really, really critical for a lot of us who like to argue and pontificate and put points out, etc. But you asked me a question.